A holy Sabbath. Translated from Hawaiian to English, that means happy Sabbath. Sorry, I won't be here next week to celebrate with you. I'll be preaching next Sabbath in Hawaii. And I'm going to be spending the Thanksgiving holiday with my family there. So, but my prayers will be with you. It's a joy to see this church growing. And hopefully, not only in number, but in what? In spirit. And that's why we're here today. To worship our God. The God who made everything. The God that these two young ladies beautifully sang about. That everywhere we go, He is with us. That is His promise. I will be with you. Through prosperity or adversity, I will be with you. Question is, as we're kind of talking about in our Sabbath school lesson this morning, are we with Him? He longs for us to be with Him. That's why one of the reasons why we come together as a church family, to be with Him corporately together. However, it is vitally important that we also be with Him individually, personally, every day, every moment of our lives. In John chapter 4, we find Jesus in Samaria, sitting at Jacob's well. You know the story. And as he is sitting there, a woman approaches with some containers to collect water. And Jesus says to her, "I want a drink." And she looks at him and says, "You don't have anything to draw water with." And the other thing is, "I'm a Samaritan. You are a Jew. Why are you even talking to me?" And Jesus proceeds and says, "Well, hey, if you know who you're talking to, you will be asking me for water." However, she kind of misses the punchline. And Jesus says to her, "Hey, go and get your husband." And she replies, "I don't have any." And Jesus' response is, "You are being very truthful. You don't have a husband, because you've had five. And the man that you're with now is not your husband." Now, if you were that woman, how would you be feeling right now? And her response is, "I think you must be a prophet." And then she says, "You know, my people worship on this mountain. But you say we're supposed to be worshiping in Jerusalem." And what does Jesus do? He says, "Lady, the day is coming when you will not worship on this mountain anymore or in Jerusalem. But the day is coming, the time is coming when you will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Hence our scripture reading for this morning. "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall do what? Worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him." And I'm going to add verse 24 to this. It says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." How are we to worship God? Spirit and in truth. What does it all mean? In spirit and in truth. Well, you know, Jesus is very, very kind to this woman, the way he treats her. He treats her with respect. He treats her as though she is one of his. He welcomes her. And she kind of senses this. And she's beginning to feel a little bit more comfortable being with Jesus, even though she has questions running through her mind. How does he know I've had five husbands? How does he know that the man I'm with now is not my husband? How, you know, just all kind of things is running through her mind. And then, you know, as his disciples approach the scene, she jumps up and runs off back to her town to call everybody else. Talk about evangelism. She runs and tells them, hey, you guys gotta come and see this guy. He told me everything about my life. And of course, we know the story. They come. They come. Going back to what Jesus said moments ago, believe me, woman, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. You don't know what you worship, but we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Paul in Acts chapter 17 gives us a good example of worship. And by the way, in case you didn't know it yet, my sermon is basically dealing with the subject of worship. And the title is Who, Not Where. Because what matters the most is not where we worship, but who we worship. And Paul, as he leaves Thessalonica and goes on to Berea and then to the city of Athens, as he's walking around Athens, you know the story in Acts chapter 17, he sees that, wow, these people, they're into worship. I mean, look at that. They got altars all over the place. To this God, to that God, to this God. And then, as he's walking around, he notices one particular altar. And what does it say? To the unknown God. To the unknown God. And wow. So Paul gathers the people. And in verse 24 of Acts 17, he proceeds to explain to them who this unknown God is and why it is that this is the God that should be worshipped. He says, God, who made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Going on down to verse 28 of Acts 17. For in him, because of him, we live. Because of him, we are alive. Because of him, we move. Because of him, we exist. Ever ask yourself why you worship? Or who do you worship? What do I worship? Well, in order for us to answer that question, I invite you to take a walk down the path of your life, from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep at night, or whenever it is you go to sleep. As you walk along this path, what do you see? Do you see God anywhere along this path? Or is there places where God does not exist? And when you get to the end of that path, you see a throne. And on that throne, guess what? Is what you worship, or who you worship. How would you define the word worship? Anyone? Any thoughts? What is worship? Yes, brother.
Worship, normally people, I was just talking about this last night. Worship, if you look at the synonyms, it's basically to have a relationship or to love, or to express, to be in awe, to praise.
Okay.
So if you're married, right? I'm married to my wife. That's a form of worship. That's why God said you shall have, you shouldn't love. If you love your wife or husband more than me, you're not worthy of me. He didn't say you can't love.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yes. Thank you. Anyone else?
Communion.
Communion. Okay. All right. Worship, this is a very simple definition. Worship is just simply something that matters most to us. Okay. Your wife matters to you, but is it the most? Okay. Is God what matters most to you and I? Is God sitting on that throne at the end of our path? At the end of the day, is God on that throne? Now, you might say, Pat, you know, we got to work. We got to take the kids to school. We got to cook dinner, wives. At least I hope you do. We got to do this. We have to do that. Where can we fit God in so that God is with us throughout the day? I'll be honest with you. I think I've shared this before. Especially when I was employed in a construction company back in Hawaii. Depending on the size of the job site, we could put in easily 10 to 14 hours a day just for work. Just for work. You know, that's quite a bit of a chunk of time. And as the years went by, I began to ask myself, Pat, where is God in all of this? How can I have God in my work throughout the day? What is it 1 Thessalonians 5:17? Pray without what?
Ceasing.
Okay. How can I pray without ceasing? What does that mean? And after sharing this with a pastor friend of mine, you know, he said to me, Pat, you know, how is your prayer life? And I looked at him, my prayer life? Yeah, right. My prayer life at that time wasn't all that great. Yeah, I would get up in the morning, thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning, being me throughout the day, and boom, that was it. Off to work. Come home, thank you, Lord, for helping me through the day. Thank you for watching over my family. Amen. Go to sleep. Then he said, Pat, here's a suggestion. In fact, how many of you are still in the workforce? Yeah? All right. Only one? Whoa, you are jobless? Come on. I'm retired. Okay. But this is what he suggested to me. As you are working, ask him for wisdom. Lord, help me to do the best. Because one of my responsibilities was As a heavy equipment operator, I was what they called a lead heavy equipment operator on the job site. Whatever job site I was assigned to, they always made me the lead person. And one of my responsibilities was not just to operate the piece of equipment that I was should be operating, but my assignment was also to make sure that all the other operators knew where to dig, how much to dig, how far to dig, where the sidewalk was supposed to go, where the road was supposed to go, where the building corner was supposed to be. That was my responsibility. A lot of math that I did not like. I hated math in school, only to find out that at work I needed it. So I had to start praying, Lord, I hope my figures are right. I hope this is not there's no mistake in my calculations. I hope I told so-and-so that he's digging in the right spot where he should be digging. I hope that he is digging as deep as he should go, and so forth. And I found myself praying throughout the day, Lord, thank you. Lord, help me. Lord, boom. And throughout the day, I found it a joy, as Brother Rick said earlier, to be a Christian, a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, to be able to commune with God, to be able to be praying without what? Ceasing. And that's how worship should be. Worship is not just on a seventh-day Sabbath. Worship should continue when we leave here. In other words, on the first day of the week, Sunday, we should already be preparing our hearts for the next time we are going to be meeting with our God. So that when Sabbath comes around the next Friday evening, we're not going, it's Sabbath again, oh man. Hey, been there, done that. But when Sabbath comes, it will certainly be a delight. A joy, yes. And then we will be prepared to come together as one family, worshiping God. Now, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, it gives us a reason why we should worship. In fact, before I read the verse, did you know that you and I was made to worship? You go everywhere on God's green earth, you will see people worshiping. Amen. Everywhere. No matter where you go, city, jungle, yes, desert, people are worshiping. Amen. And the funny thing is, some of them don't even know why, or let alone who or what they're worshiping. But Colossians 1 verse 16 tells us, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, whether they be thrones or principalities or dominions or powers, all things. How much? All things were created by him and for him. Yes, you and I were created for him, to worship him, to worship him. Now, remember that path that I told you to walk down? One of the things I encourage you to do, if you haven't done so already, and I trust that you already have, in your home, find a spot where just you and God meet. Just you and God. Now, for myself, I have two spots in my house since I live alone now. One in the bedroom and one in my living room, where just me and God meet. Amen. And may I suggest that when you do meet with God, I used to kneel like this. And I found that when I do kneel in this position, you get tired, muscles get sore. After about 5 or 6 minutes, some of us may be shorter. But this is what I discovered. When I bow before my God, just me and God, I found out that in this position, I can stay like this for an hour or two and not get tired. It's amazing, folks, when we worship our God the way He wants us to, in spirit and in truth. In spirit, because the Holy Spirit is where? In us. In truth, because now, because of the Holy Spirit working in me, my heart, as the psalmist prayed, create in me a what? A clean heart. And a right spirit within me. So that you have a heart that is pure, a heart that is true, a heart that is willing to say, Lord, I love you. Amen. Please make this your dwelling place. And as he does so, you can rejoice, as Philippians 4:4 says, how often? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. In Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in thy way everlasting. God is a searcher of the hearts, in case you haven't noticed. He's able to distinguish between a true heart and one that is a false heart. And if we are sincere about this prayer in Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24, we will surely enter the Sabbath with a clean heart and a right spirit. We will not be, as I mentioned two Sabbaths ago, coming to God with a strange heart or strange fire, but instead hearts that are cleansed by the blood of Jesus, hearts filled with praise and thanksgiving for our Creator God. Moments ago, I gave you just a short definition of worship. Worship is how we respond to what matters most in our lives. May I suggest this definition? Worship is our response personally and corporately to God for who He is and what He has done. Who is your God this morning? What has this God done for you, for me? Is He worthy of your praise, of your worship? So worship is my response. And as a result, worship determines my actions, our thoughts, becoming the driving force for all that we do. So that worship is not just a once a week thing, but an always thing. Worship should never come to an end. That is what I believe Paul meant when he said pray without ceasing. You will surely worship God in spirit and in truth. So I encourage you as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, don't let the Sabbath end when the sun goes down this evening. Let it continue throughout the week. And you will find it to be truly a joy to come to worship each Sabbath together, to praise our God, to thank Him. The God that, in our call to worship verse this morning, Psalms 106, verse 1, a God that is good, a God whose love continues forever, a God whose love for you and I caused Him to allow His only begotten Son, Jesus, to come. Even if it was just for my sins alone, Jesus would have come. What a God. So let's worship Him in spirit and in truth. Not just on a Sabbath day, but every day of the week. Take God with you. For those of you that are still working, ask Him for wisdom. Ask Him for strength to get through that day. Ask Him for patience, whatever it is you need to complete that job that you have been assigned to at work. And you will be amazed at just what God will do for you. Because when I started doing that, in fact, there was a couple of times I had my head bowed. And a fellow worker came up to me and said, "Hey, Pat, wake up." I said, "I'm not sleeping." He said, "Oh, okay, I'm sorry." I said, "I was praying." And he said, "You was what?" And then I added, "I was praying for you." And he was kind of taken aback at that, but I said, "You know, I pray for everybody on a job site." And he walked away saying, "Thank you." Christian of a different faith, but again, one that was growing in Jesus. And that is why we come to worship, to grow in Jesus. Jesus gives us the Sabbath to remind us of who He is and what He has done. Let's worship Him. Let's worship Him. Our closing song this morning is hymn number 539. I will early seek the Savior. And that is something I encourage each of you to do, is to early seek the Savior at the beginning of each day of your life, as well as at the end. And throughout the day. If you would stand with me as we sing this old hymn, I will early seek the Savior.